Welcome to PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 186. I am your host, Jeff Hallich. This is our live call-in show for computer repair techs. We answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. Let me introduce the co-host. We have none other than, Marvin B. from MB Systems or maninthevan.net.
Almost forgot who I was, didn't you?
I reversed the order. I like to mix it up a little bit. How you doing, Marvin?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome, man. Good to have you. And also joining us, we have Chris Carruthers from Remote Support Tech Team. How you doing, Chris?
I'm here. You know, it's been a long day. We just got finished with the Kabuto webinar, and so I'm kind of just going.
Yeah, welcome to my world, my friend.
Yeah.
This is all I do on Sunday. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk real quick about the Toronto Unconvention coming up July 22nd through the 24th, 2016. If you have not gotten your tickets, get your tickets now. Find a way, make a way, get there. It's going to be fun. It's going to be relaxing. It's going to be a good time that we all can hang out and learn from each other. Because as Marvin has said before, and our friend John Dubinsky, the one thing that I know for sure is that I don't know everything. Now, Chris, he doesn't normally say that, so I can't really include him in there because he usually thinks he knows everything. And,
thanks.
You know, for a young guy, that's normal. So I just put up with it.
Remember, it's not a mistake. It's a learning opportunity.
There you go.
I know everything except for the things that I don't.
Awesome. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to be doing there. We're going to do a seminar on If I Knew Then, everything you need to know about selling your business services, work groups, Sunday labs, all kinds of stuff. Breakfast, lunch, and snacks will be provided. We are going to take care of you. You will enjoy this opportunity. So take the opportunity. And as Marvin has also said, invest in yourself. All right. Let's see. Chris, why don't you give us a start off for this week and share one tip or story with us that we could learn from?
And the first thing that I thought of was the truck thing.
That was a good one, by the way. You can tell that story if you want.
Sure. All right. So this isn't really tech related, but it's something that,
it is tech related. What are you talking about?
All right, fine, whatever. So there I was, right? And I'm trying out this new, truck driving simulator. Because of my kid and my mother, who used to be a truck driver. She was interested. She wanted to know about it. So got the steering wheel, did all of that. And I was driving this truck in this virtual world, and I was in Arizona. going down the road, and some car cut me off. So I honked at it, and I thought, oh, yeah, I honked at the car. That's pretty cool. And then I get a text message from my fiance. So I look at the phone to see what she texts me. And then I looked up and I slammed into the back of that car because it stopped to let somebody else in. So the moral of the story is don't text and drive. I don't do it in the car, but I've done it virtually now. And I've seen just how quick that can happen. And apparently that made Jeff laugh really, really hard when he saw it on my Facebook.
Oh, it was hilarious. I couldn't believe it. What a perfect story to illustrate not texting and driving. And yet nobody got hurt except for the virtual simulation.
The virtual little, yeah, and I had to pay the trucking company a lot of money to repair the truck.
It only takes a second. A second. So there is nothing that is worth your time or your life that you need to answer right away. Matter of fact,
that's
just
right.
Shut your phone off or turn a podcast on and don't touch that phone for the rest of the trip. All right. Great story. Do you have a more business-related tech story for us, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
This hard drive right here?
Well, it's a Seagate. That's the first problem, but okay.
Oh, okay. So I have been very adamant with my clients. Get a backup, get a backup, get a backup. It's very important that you get a backup. That client is an accountant who doesn't have a backup after telling them for 2 years to get a backup. The hard drive in that box is the failed hard drive that has all of the accounting information for every client that they have.
Oh.
So we are sending it off to a clean room with anywhere between a $700 and a $1,500 price tag to have recovered. So get a backup. And if you want a story, that's a story, because this accountant is likely going to pay around $1,500 to get all the QuickBooks data back so that he can go back to work in 3 weeks.
So now let's break this down, Chris. No, let's not worry about the time that it's taking, because that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
How much, on average, would that backup have cost them for, I don't know, a year? What would a backup price-wise cost them for a year?
Sure. At most, for a managed backup, we would have charged them $200 a year.
Okay. Now, so how many years could you have that backup running versus paying the one-time price tag of $1,500?
Little under 8 years.
There you go.
That's forgetting about all the downtime, right, and all the money lost and everything for the almost a month, because it took a week for this drive to get to me. And now I have to ship it off.
Right.
So it's going to be probably a little bit over a month that he's not going to have any of that data.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Especially if you're running any type of accounting software, small business, it doesn't matter. You need to back it up.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Good story. Probably shouldn't have been using a Seagate drive, but it could happen to any of them.
You know what? I don't do this to me. Okay. I didn't put that drive in there.
All right, Marvin, what do you got for us this week?
Well, I will take a little jump off of what you said earlier about one thing I do know is that I don't know everything. And while I was working yesterday, I got a bunch of emails from our good friend Door-to-Door Geek.
Ah.
And of course, I, you know, was like, what in the world is Door emailing me about? Well, it turns out he was listening to that other podcast where I had done a interview with Paco, don't call me Taco, and I had mentioned some things about, you know, some resources on investing in yourself, and I talked about books, and that I like to get the physical books if I can, just to keep them as a reference point, because, you know, a lot of times you hear stuff in podcasts or in audiobooks, and when you go back to try to find it, you don't know really where to go to find it. And so I mentioned, you know, getting a book. You can write in it. You can make notes. You can, you know, do the thingy on the edge of the page to, you know, bookmark it. And so Door-to-Door Geek just sent over a little video to me, letting me know that with a app called the Podcast Addict, you can bookmark a spot in a podcast that if you need to share it or save it for yourself, you can save it with a direct link to the spot in the podcast of what you want to remember. So just to show something I didn't know, Door-to-Door Geek pointed that out to me, and a good reason to listen to all the podcasts. Everybody can obviously help each other out.
That is a great tip, because I'm a podcaster and I didn't even know that. So what do you know? Wow. Yeah, I did hear your interview on that other show. And somebody keeps poaching our people, but whatever. no, that was a great tip, and it was a great interview and a lot of good information about investing in yourself and kind of a deep dive into your thoughts about that. So definitely check that out over the Computer Business Podcast with Matthew Rodella and Paco LeBron. Yeah, that I go back and forth. There are still some books that I have on the shelf. Like, if a book is, like, say, less than 8 hours on audio form, I will periodically go back and just listen to the whole book again and get the stuff out of there. But there are some books that are just huge, or maybe you don't need all the information in there. And there are still special books that I have on a bookshelf that I will open up, and they're highlighted and tagged, like you said, dog ear pages and all that kind of stuff. So no, that's a great tip. Yeah, you can definitely, I didn't realize that with podcasts though. That's pretty cool. You can I'm just looking at all the digital media and different things I have, and it is so hard to sort through that stuff sometimes, but yeah. Many different ways to do the same thing. That's very cool.
Yep.
All right. And let's see. I think we have one email today. All right. Ooh. This is from Rob Berger. It says, Jeff, I was listening to your most recent Podnuts podcast where you were talking about rash decisions. I received a call yesterday, which is right up this alley. In my earlier days, I would have quickly gone out of my way to try and help a customer. When my phone rang, the caller ID said California. I'm in Ohio. Okay, maybe it's somebody on their cell phone instead of a telemarketer, since I get a lot of telemarketer calls. Don't we all? I usually just let the out-of-state calls go to voicemail, but I was expecting an important call. I answered the call this time. The caller said that she was traveling in the area and needed to upload a lot of data to the UK, about 50 gigs, and wanted to know if I had a facility to accommodate this. What? What kind of crazy request is this? In my earlier days, I may have tried to figure out a way to help her. Not now, though. Out-of-state caller ID and weird request. I told her this wasn't a service I provided. We hung up, and that was that. Here's the thing, though. I don't believe she truly had a legitimate need to quickly upload 50 gigabytes of data, nor do I have a high enough upload speed to do this quickly. I can't figure out her angle. Was she transferring stolen data and wanted to use my pipe? Was she working with Tom Cruise and needed to upload the data before her train went through the tunnel? Did she want to get physical access to my network and install keyloggers, etc. on my system? It was such a random occurrence. Anyways, I didn't lose anything except a few minutes of time before my next scheduled appointment. I thought you might enjoy the story. Best wishes, Rob. Rob, great story, and that is true. It shows that I think we all go through this, where in the beginning, you will take every job that comes at you, and then you get to a point where you go, you know what? It's not worth my time and effort to figure this particular thing out for a particular customer. It's better for them to just go elsewhere or get a new computer or whatever. There are a lot of different scenarios that would apply to. So, you guys got anything on that? Have you ever had anybody do that to you?
I mean, I get a lot of, hey, I have this laptop and I can't remember the password for it. Just ignore the fact that, you know, the username is Janine and I'm Fred.
And how do you deal with that, Chris?
You know what? It the only way that we're going to be able to fix this is if we contact the manufacturer and have them send us all the license information so we can reapply it. And I basically scare them into realizing that I'm going to find out who owns the laptop.
Gotcha.
Hey, my company needs an order of 20 laptops and we need it by Friday. Can we pay over the phone by credit card? And, you know, that answer is no.
Cash in hand.
No. If I don't know who, well, no, you know what? If I've already been working with somebody, sure.
Sure.
If I can physically go on site and do the site survey, sure. But, those calls never have a site that I can go to. They're either, you know, a couple weeks away from opening. Well, great. So in the 2 weeks, then when you have your shop open, I'll come on over and we'll do the site survey.
Right.
If they're not willing to do that, then it's probably a scam.
Absolutely. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Marvin, you?
Yeah, we get all types of crazy requests like that. But if they're not somebody that I normally work with, sorry, can't help you.
All right. And I went out of order. I didn't give my tips for the week, so I do apologize. I'm going to go back to that now because it's my show and I can do what I want. okay, number one, I had an email sent to me from Bing. Yes, the search engine Bing wanted to talk to me. They showed me that on my Bing business account, there was basically a discrepancy between that and my website. And here was a discrepancy. And I didn't understand this because I've never seen this before. When I first signed up for Google Business or Google My Business, now I think it's called, and Bing Business, they're free accounts. You can sign up for them for free. It's absolutely free. You sign up, they'll send you a little postcard with a number on it. You type in a number once you get it in a few weeks, and boom, you take that business for your own. One of the things it said was the information I put in there was TechNut LLC, which is actually the official company name. It's the company name is actually just TechNut. It's an LLC. So that's what I was putting in a lot of documents way back in the day. This was probably 2010. And now we're in 2016. And it on my website, everywhere it says TechNut Computer Repair. Okay. And there's a lot of reasons I did TechNut by itself. I did TechNut LLC because I didn't know where my business was going to go, and I didn't want to be locked into something that said, this is computer repair, right? So I could transition and do what I want to do. But this discrepancy, and Paco has talked about this on a few previous computer business podcasts, where they're actually starting to look at the stuff because of all the scams that are going on. So anyways, long story short, basically all I had to do was go in there and change it from TechNut LLC on Bing to TechNut Computer Repair. Now it matches the website. No harm, no foul.
Yeah.
So if I was doing any searches or I was using Bing ads or anything like that, you can, if you're doing a slight bit wrong things, you can basically have even Google or Bing ads will tag you and go, no, this is, we need to check this out because it doesn't seem legit. So anyways, not only that, I went in there, and I don't know if a lot of people realize this because I didn't, but my hours that I had set up previously, which were wrong, they expired. So you actually have to periodically go in these systems and check out and make sure that the information is correct.
Really?
Yes. So again, something I did not realize, but once I went in there, I was like, oh, it says these are expired. So I had to redo them, which is no big deal because I should have done that anyways. Another thing that I had was I had a Windows Vista laptop, and customer that's come here before, but it's been a few years, and they had this laptop, and I'd worked on it years ago, I think, and they basically said basically the browser's not working. Okay. It's saying the browser's too old to get online, so on and so forth. Well, and I said, well, so Windows Vista only goes up to IE9. Now, I don't know if there's sites out there that were actually the sites that she was going to was stopping her from getting there because it is IE9, because that does happen. But because it was happening a lot, I was like, well, there's probably some other things going on. And I said, listen, because she told me the computer's 8 years old. I said, listen, probably the best thing to do, in my opinion, without even looking at it, get a new computer. I'll transfer the data over, set it up for you, get your printer set up, all that kind of stuff, and we'll be good to go. And she just didn't want to do that right now. Okay, I can clean it up. But I always have a sneaking suspicion. When a computer's that old and you start having these weird problems and it was working fine before, if it's not a malware infection, what is it? Usually a dying hard drive. And this particular hard drive was, so I had done a couple of checks. Number one, I had used the Tech USB from Repair Tech and hooked that up in there, did the pre-boot, set it out, and basically the hard drive came back failed. Okay, but the hard drive was still working, so I'm like, yeah, let me double check this. So I go in, and I pull the drive, put it in my bench machine, I put it on the Western Digital software, because it was Western Digital Drive, and I run the software, and it fails the quick test. Quick test only took like 2 minutes, but only failed, like, it basically failed a portion where it was saying there was bad sectors, okay? But still, to me, that's a drive that's dying. So I went ahead and did the extra thing, and I did an extended test. That took like 16 minutes or something like that. This was only a 160 gig hard drive, so it was very fast. When I did that, again, everything passed except for it was showing bad sectors. It says, hey, do you want to repair? So point of the story is the drive wasn't so far gone that you can't get stuff back from it, or it wasn't working okay. But there were some bad sectors, so you probably had things that were happening in Internet Explorer that were messing things up or whatever. So I said, okay. Now, Windows Vista is only good until June of 2017, and that's what I told her. I said, listen, it's only good for another year. I said, and what I mean by that is Microsoft is going to stop supporting it. It's not that you can't use it. Shoot, there's people using Windows XP online today. But I said, it's not going to be safe to use, no matter what you have on there. So, probably now is a good time to go ahead and upgrade. So anyways, long story short, I'm going to call her back, and I don't normally do this. Normally it's I buy a new drive, but in this particular case, I do have drives that are good drives that I pull from other systems and wipe them, get all the information and stuff off. They're really good. And sometimes I will sell somebody a used drive, especially if I know it's going to be for only a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I just let them know up ahead. I let them know ahead of time. Listen, you got a 30-day warranty on this. I said, we can buy you a new drive, but it's going to cost you this much. And you'll get a year warranty or 2 year warranty or whatever they have now. So, what do you want to do? You know, if you're trying to just limp along. And surprisingly, what is so weird about this is the fastest Windows Vista laptop I've ever seen boot up in my life. I mean, I was like going, I can't believe how fast this thing is. And so I know that pretty much the computer's fine, everything else passed, and we should be able to go good from there. But so anyways, that was just one of those things. Double check, triple check, just make sure you know what's going on with the system. And I'm always honest with my customers. If I think something's too old, and 8 years to me is too old, shoot, 5 years is too old to me, I will try to steer them in another direction. But money or timing or whatever, that doesn't always work. And the customer wants to basically keep what they have for now until another time. So anyways, that was my couple of things that I had going on this week. All right, we did our email. And where are we at? Wow, we're zipping along today.
Yes.
All right. Marvin's going to start this session off with our main topic for today is going to be customer misconceptions of technology. And we might even go down a rabbit trail and talk about tech's misconceptions of technology, because that is just as prevalent as customers a lot of times. And maybe we'll go into some of those things. But Marvin, tell us about the conversation that you had that came to the conclusion that customers just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, the customer that I met with on Friday morning was a customer that I actually have had, if we were to try to be, you know, congruent from start to finish, I got them back in 1999. And had them up until 2012. And they went with another tech. They were doing a merge, and there were two companies sharing the same space. They were going to merge after they moved, so they were only going to be using one physical network. And so they, you know, wanted a single tech, and I had no problem deferring to the other tech. It was a small customer, 8 people total. But they did have a small business server. Short story, they're back to me. And one of the things that I had to fix in the very beginning was they were having horrible bandwidth issues, horrible networking issues, basically related to the fact that the guy tried to have them use Dropbox as a server.
What?
So, not that was a bad thing in and of itself, but they had it was a law firm, so they had a case management software. They had QuickBooks. They had thousands of file folders on their server that basically they were doing Dropbox to each and every workstation plus the server. So 9 stations inside the office, all running Dropbox. And they were wondering why their bandwidth was so slow and why their voice over IP phone system didn't work and why it took forever to, you know, mess with their stuff and how come they had document changes that didn't make it that they had lost. And so basically I had to tell them, well, you're trying to use a free Dropbox service that you don't need. You know, 9 people in the office never worked outside of the office. It wasn't like they went home to work on documents. They didn't do anything remote. There was only 2 people in the office that needed remote access, and they had it to their desktops. So I had to fix that and stop that. And so Friday was a meeting where we wanted to sit and talk about going forward. And they want to, or they need to, upgrade their software. It's about 5 years old. And they've got to get it upgraded. So one of the first things that I did was just to simply ask them, why do you want to be in the cloud?
What's the cloud?
And nobody had an answer.
Yeah, they never do.
They basically, was one of the attorneys said, oh, I just heard it was cool to be in the cloud.
Yeah, that's what all the cool kids are doing.
But turns out after about halfway through the meeting, he actually finally did say a couple of things that started to understand. And the one thing is he thought that the cloud was his backup. He wanted to be able to be home at night and sleep, knowing that his stuff was safe, so that if something happened to his computer or the office, their stuff was in the cloud backed up. And the second thing he liked was being able to see some documents and emails on multiple devices. So I said, well, I'll tell you this, half of what you said is perfect. I said, if you want to be able to see documents on multiple devices in sync, yes, Dropbox will do that. However, it won't do anything for your case management and some of your line of business software. So I had to explain those differences. But I said, if you want Dropbox to be your backup, that's a mistake.
Yep.
And here's how I had to tell him it was a mistake. About a month before they contacted me to come back and be their tech, this particular attorney who, you know, thought it was cool, decided that he was going to rearrange folders and rename files.
Oh.
Yay! So
the next morning when the rest of the office came into work, all of the links that they had from their case management system no longer worked, and their W drive was gone because he decided to rename it on his computer, not understanding that it was going to rename it everywhere.
Yep.
So that was one of the reasons that I was able to explain to them, get off Dropbox, stop using it. We're not going to do anything cloud-based until you understand what it is and why you're going to use it. So that was a nice discussion. And then the bottom line is we spent well over an hour discussing what the cloud was, you know, what their business needed. And it turns out they don't need cloud. They just thought it was the next, you know, nice thing to do. One of the people thought that they'd save money, but it turns out because of the software that they're using, it's actually not going to save them any money. In fact, the cloud version of the software they use, which has been out less than a year, will only give them about half of the features that they're using now with their on-premise server. So I said, you're going to need to, you know, figure out, you know, is the cost, first of all, which isn't going to save you anything, but is going to the cloud going to benefit you more, you know, to have that access anywhere as opposed to not having all the features that you're commonly used to. So they're now going through a whole big list of features they use, don't use, and all of that stuff. But, you know, it was interesting sitting with them and trying to decide, you know, what's going to be best for them, because, you know, they heard the cool, you know, technology, but didn't understand how it was going to affect them or how they could use it or what benefit they had. And I told them, I said, I have no problem with you going to the cloud, but I'm not going to be sitting here in 6 months or a year with you guys all upset that the cloud didn't do everything that you thought it was going to do.
Yeah, I think that's a common misconception. And you will hear the people who are running the cloud, the different services in the cloud, tell you that one of the benefits is saving money. Yet most of the scenarios, not all, but most of the scenarios I have looked at, the cost is about the same. If you put it out over time, the cost is going to be about the same, whether you're in the cloud or you're on a physical on-prem server. A lot of people don't see that, especially when you have, obviously you're not buying a brand new server every year. So you're going to have a lifespan 4, 5, 6 years for that server, whatever it is. And you're going to have those costs that are going to be built in there. And a lot of people don't realize that when they look at what cloud costs are, pennies for gigs of data, right? That can, depending on what you're doing, that can add up very quickly and get out of control before you even know it. And the next thing you know, wait a minute, why did my bill just quadruple what it was before? Because they don't have that concept. I think there's a lot of things that the cloud brings to businesses and to technologists like ourselves that can be used for certain scenarios. But I don't think it's a one size fits all. And that's where it's not, to me, it's not the next thing. It's just a thing. It's a tool that is in our toolbox that we can use for certain situations.
I'd have to agree there. And also I'd have to agree on one other point.
Wait a minute, Chris, are you okay?
What?
I'm sorry. Did you, did I hear that again? You have to agree?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Am I not allowed to do that on this show?
I'm in shock.
One thing that I do want to point out, though, and it was something that was said but wasn't, is that, you know, the people who are using Dropbox as a backup, and I know we brought this up on the show before, and I know that I've seen the chat explode before that, well, Dropbox is a fine backup. It's not. I mean, the closest thing that Dropbox really does to a backup is the version control, and you can do that on an Active Directory server. That doesn't make it a backup. That just means that you can access previous versions. If that information's gone, it's gone. So there's just, I think that there are users and honestly a lot of techs that put way too much faith in these systems to do things that it's not designed to do.
Right. And because it's not all our fault, right? Because it's a lot of what we're being told. It's a lot of what these companies are pushing. We're going from this pay once for something, and we're going to a lot of subscription services.
Yeah.
So we're kind of being weaned in that direction where everybody's like, okay, hey, we got to do something here, and we've got to change with the times, and we're not going to have the horse whips and buggies anymore. By golly, we're going to gasoline cars. And it's just, again, we got to take a step back and actually look at the pros and cons, because there are always pros and cons to changing some of these systems.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, like we use Dropbox here for a lot of our documentation because we have multiple systems that we want it to sync to. And that's the word, right? It's not storage. It's a sync. And that's what we use it for. We don't use Dropbox for our backup. We don't use Dropbox as a server to share QuickBooks data. It's a file sync for documents. That's all it was ever designed to do.
Well, in Marvin's case too, a lot of people don't realize this, but what he had said was the people that were using Dropbox on all the workstations, now you have all these things simultaneously syncing, and that's what was chewing up the bandwidth. And again, Marvin, did a technician set that up, or did somebody in the company do that?
No, that was the previous tech.
Okay. So again, not really understanding. It's not that the person was dumb or anything like that. It's just they weren't understanding exactly how this technology works. And a lot of times when we don't understand something, we get ourselves in trouble.
So I mean, let's look at that case study though there on its own. And I'm not going to assume anything about servers or anything like that. I'm just thinking about the Dropbox and what they were trying to accomplish with Dropbox. So they were just trying to accomplish having the files show up on everybody's computers. Am I getting that right?
Well, let me go back, because part of the misconception was the office I told you was split. They were basically two separate companies, even though they were in the same physical office. And I had actually managed the customer that had, you know, the one attorney, actually it was two attorneys and four staff. And they had a small business server, and they were operating, you know, exactly the way that at the time they needed to. They had a server with their line of business application. They were actually using an Exchange server for mail, and they had the file structure. The other attorney was just him and his secretary, and they had never been set up in a real network, and their way of sharing files was Dropbox. So that's what they were used to. That's what that tech was used to. And he just didn't see any reason to not do it for the rest of the office when he took over. And I mean, I don't want to get into whether he was a good tech or bad tech or whatever, sure. But I do know that part of the problem that they had was he did not understand the small business server.
Right.
He just didn't know how to combine the networks and make it work. In his terms, you know, all he did was, you know, tear down the wall in between the networks so that, you know, he, instead of letting the small business server, you know, hand out the DHCP, DNS and manage everything, he put in some Belkin wireless router become DHCP and DNS. You know, now he got them off of their mail server and put them on Office 365, which I have no problem with that.
Right.
No,
I've got a bunch of my customers on Office 365, but he just didn't understand the rest of the networking stuff. And so when they started to run into these problems, he had no idea what to do.
Well, and I mean, that brings up a very interesting point. And I know we've talked about this with specific tools, but I think that this would be a good chance to say this. If you don't understand what's going on, look for help. I mean, really, there are so many different places that you can go. You can go on Technible and ask questions there. You can go online and learn more about it. I'm not going to say whether this technician is a good technician or not. I don't know this technician. I've never seen their work. And really, the actions taken there doesn't inherently make a bad technician. It just makes a technician that was not educated in the devices that were in use.
Well,
right, because without knowing that there was a small business server involved, my first thought was, well, if they really don't want to put the money into setting up a server and they're only looking to share documents between the computers on the network, then even a Western Digital My Cloud would have been a better option than Dropbox in that type of a situation. But this is worse. Like there was a server involved that could have easily have been used for all of this stuff, and the technician just didn't know how to do that.
Right. And so that goes back to, hey, eating your own dog food, right? And so if you're going to use things and try to use Dropbox or whatever other service for syncing, why don't you have a mock network at home? You can do it virtually or you can do it with actual physical machines and set some of that stuff up and see what happens. You know, test it out, understand it and see what, because here's the thing. A lot of people have these misconceptions when it comes to gaming machines. Okay. And this is kind of a rabbit trail, but we're going to go down it anyways.
Sure.
A lot of people will say, they'll read the benchmarks, they'll read what's online, they'll read what people say, oh, for virtual reality, you got to have this video card and you got to have this and you got to have that. And it's like the benchmarks that you see on any given site are going to be just that. They're just benchmarks. They mean absolutely nothing. They give you a plus or minus from where you could be. But the reality is, the way software and things are written and the way your system is set up with everything that's involved, you're going to get what's called real world. In other words, when you're playing a game, you know, the system I had set up prior to this using a 2K monitor, I was running with a 780 GTX. Now, there would be people out there and I was running everything in ultimate settings. Now, everybody would tell you out there, for the most part, you go look at the benchmarks, they'll say, oh, there's no way you could do that. You couldn't be running 2K. It with using a 780 GTX. You can't do that. Yet I did for 3 years. So again, there's the real world scenario, and then there's what we read about or what we, you know, what they test out there. So you've got to be able to test your own environment, right?
There's also the fact that software developers get a kickback for making NVIDIA run a little bit better, but let's not get into that.
Well, yeah.
But you're right. And that's the thing, right, is that every solution needs to be a solution for that client, not a solution for the solution.
Right.
And I know that sounds very cyclical, but that's what it comes down to. You know, just because, like, actually, another accountant, because apparently those are the clients that I'm picking up right now. I have another accountant in town, and their previous technician had set up that Linux that old laptop. They installed Linux on it, and then they hosted all of their shared documents on this Linux laptop. And it's beginning to fail, and we're replacing that entire thing with a Western Digital My Cloud because it suits what they want. He wants to be able to do the sharing, which is exactly what it's going to do. He needs to be able to download those QuickBooks files onto his laptop when he's at a client's location. It's going to allow him to do that, and SBS isn't available anymore. So, you know, I mean, there's a pretty big price difference there anyway, but it would have been a better solution. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily do that for every accounting firm, though, because it's going to depend on exactly what it is that they're doing, how many people they have working at one time. Maybe they are going to need to have a server. You know, they only have two people accessing QuickBooks files at any one time, but if there was five, six, I might have to push the server a little bit harder.
No, that's a good point. I think now, Marvin, some of your, with your clients being a law office, okay, they needed a way with Active Directory to be able to log in his machines and keep everything safe and confidential, right?
Well, they should.
Okay.
should yeah, or just yeah, like okay. Every doctor's office should be completely HIPAA compliant, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that they were using with Active Directory in terms of permissions and, you know, giving access to secretaries to certain areas, you know, but not allowing them into the attorney areas. There's permissions for their line of business application. The, I mean, their software was supposed to run on a server. So I think that was one reason where if they didn't have that line of business application, he probably would have gotten rid of the server. But he couldn't, because it has to run on a server. So I think they were kind of stuck in that half and half mode. Well, I'll do as much as I can on Dropbox because that'll be easier, and then we'll just, you know, figure out the other stuff later. And I think he was trying to get them to go to a cloud-based case management system, which, again, I have no problem with, but let's make sure that it meets your needs.
Even with that being said, though, I mean, how do they so without a server in an environment like that, how do you lock down the workstations, be it laptops or whatever, in those environments to keep confidential records and so on and so forth?
Well, I mean, there are NAS boxes where, say, let's take a server out of the equation. If we're not dealing with Active Directory, and at some point there will be Active Directory in the cloud. And, you know, anybody who wants to, you know, get on the Azure, you know, Active Directory bandwagon right now, 90% of the world won't be able to use Azure as Active Directory.
I'm still looking forward to it, though, I got to say.
I mean, you can do a hybrid. You can do a lot of single sign-on stuff between, you know, local premise servers in the cloud. But there are a lot of NAS boxes where you can do permission-based settings for folders. There's cloud-based programs where within the program you can do permissions for certain features. It can all be done. It just takes a lot of work to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the dilemma with techs, and you know, I'm trying to be nice to this guy, but you know, when you just basically use the simplest solution you can find just because it's easy and you don't have to deal with it, you know, that's just not the way to operate. And, you know, he could have found other syncing programs to do, you know, if it was just to sync their documents, he could have, you know, done that and done it in a very proper way. But the other problems I have with this tech have to go with the fact that not only did he not do a good job of serving them and taking care of them, but he didn't educate them.
Right.
The fact that an end user was able to just simply start renaming folders and not understand the impact that it was going to have on the rest of the office, you know, is ridiculous.
I mean, well, okay, let's be fair there, though. I mean, you can educate every user on it, and you're still probably going to have that user that does something. But the fact that nobody on the network understood that that was going to be a problem, I think, is the worst part.
Well, no, here's the problem is there were a lot. The person that made this change was the attorney who thought it would be cool to do all this. The other attorney in the office didn't have the balls to tell him no, while every secretary in the office was saying, this is not a good idea. We should not do this. So it wasn't like the office didn't know.
Okay.
It was this one attorney didn't know.
Right.
And while he claims to be a novice and not understand technology, that's certainly not the person you let, you know, lead your office down a path that you shouldn't be going.
Well, and that's why I look at some of these things. If you look at some of these business servers, you know, Windows servers, and you look at the how you can lock them down for individuals, even the smart individuals, because this is what I always say. I don't care where you're working. It doesn't matter. And I've told bosses this for many, many years. Lowest common denominator. Okay. You have to literally take the dumbest person that you are working with, okay, and dumb it down so that even they cannot break it. Because whether it's safety or whatever, it's the way it is. So yeah. I think things like Active Directory in a situation like this are definitely, because Marvin, you gave me an article that somebody had wrote about using Dropbox as a server, literally as a real server by itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all laughed.
But, yeah, it's that's a whole nother scenario. But we have to remember, Active Directory doesn't stop stupidity. I mean, you know, there are days when, you know, even with Active Directory, where a user will go into a shared network drive and accidentally move or delete a file folder. I mean, that still happens in the largest organizations. Sure. Now, what you have in that sort of scenario is you've got a experienced tech who's going to make sure that, you know, not everybody has that ability. Or if it does happen, I've got a proper backup that I can, you know, restore it.
Yep.
You know, quick. These are all things where, you know, even the tech himself probably didn't understand the full, you know, magnification of what this meant. I mean, you know, their whole idea of thinking that this was a backup, you know, just because it was in the cloud. Well, you know, what I had to explain to them was, okay, that's fine and good if you only need a backup for 30 days.
Right.
But what if it's day 46, you didn't realize that that file was deleted? That cloud backup isn't going to save you. So right. I had to explain the difference between a backup and an archive, you know, and retention. And if you want to keep your backups for a year or more, you can't use, you know, Dropbox or, you know, for that matter, a lot of the cloud backup services. And this is another, I mean, that's, you know, I'm sure that's a whole nother discussion, but half of the backup services that we ourselves offer as backup, you know, they're only good for 30 to 60 days.
Right.
And there's a lot of times where I've been fighting with an attorney because they thought something was in backup, but yet, you know, but the file was gone 3 months ago. So it doesn't matter that, you know, you've got this cloud backup that's only good for 30 days. If it was gone 3 months ago and you're just realizing it now, you're out of luck.
Yep. Right. Yeah. You definitely have to explain when you're selling services, you have to explain the pros and cons to what people are getting, right? Whether, okay, if you go with something like, let's just say, because I know you've been messing around with Datto and you've installed some of those. Datto, you can get a year retention, okay? Versus some of the other companies like Carbonite, even their business line is going to be 60 days retention. Again, there's a big cost factor in there, but you have to explain it to your customer. Listen, if it goes past 30, 60 days, whatever, and you realize you're missing a file, we can't get it back. We're done. So if you want that ability, we need to have something that's going to have a built-in a year's worth of retention, but it's going to cost this much. And if they say, no, I don't want to pay that much, well, okay, at least you presented it to them. I don't think a lot of people understand that there are differences in some of the software and services out there.
No, I'd have to agree to that. Yeah, a lot of it comes, like we mentioned, right? A lot of it comes down to customer education. A lot of it comes down to making sure that they're presented with all of the options that are available. But a good chunk of it comes down to technician education. You know, and I mean, let's go back to, you know, Marvin's crusade over the last year. You know, the trunk slammers, the man in the van, you know, there's zero things wrong with being self-taught. I was self-taught before I went to school. Okay. I did a lot of things before I went to school, but what I didn't do is I didn't put myself over my head. If I came across something that I did not understand, that I did not have some sort of knowledge on, I didn't do the work until I either gained that knowledge or I found somebody else who could. And we need to make sure that we're not afraid to do that. I mean, even now, there are plenty of things that I really don't know how to fix. I'm not going to try until I go out and figure it out and not on a customer's machine. Because the last thing that I want to do is leave a mess like what Marvin had to clean up. Because some other tech is going to have to come in and clean that up, because it certainly won't be me if I mess it up that bad. And then what's that going to do to my name? What's that going to do to that customer? And what's that going to do to the IT service industry in general? Nobody's going to want to hire individual techs if that's how we're conducting business, because nobody's going to trust it.
Right. Well, and That only goes so far, because a lot of times, again, we understand that as a business owner, we have a lot invested into our name and what we do for a living. And for a lot of companies out there, they're hiring techs that may or may not be qualified. They're given a set of standards that they're supposed to follow, but let's be honest. Do they? I mean, there's certain things you can protect against, but a lot of times it is what it is.
No, you're right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying that the only safe bet is the big bet, but that's not how the customer is going to see it.
Right.
What the customer is going to see is, well, this individual technician came out and he was supposed to do this thing and he clearly didn't understand it because the new tech coming in to fix a different problem is telling me that.
Right.
And clearly the problem now is that technician was working on their own, so they didn't have anybody to turn to when they got in over their head. And they didn't want to say anything because they didn't want to lose the business. I've been down this road. I've had meetings with business owners over this exact problem. And I wind up defending these techs like, you know what? I'm sure that they did their best. You know what? I'm sure that all of these things happened. I'm really sorry that happened to you. Let's just get it fixed. Because I know that if they hold a grudge against that tech, yeah, sure, maybe they won't use that technician specifically anymore. But what I don't want them to do is to think, well, maybe I have to only work with companies with at least 5 technicians so that when that technician doesn't understand what they're doing or when they get stuck, they have somebody to call. And the answer here has to be that all of us have somebody that we can reach out to. All of us have communities that we can get the information for. All of us have the internet. Figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, find somebody who can. Because you don't want to be that person putting your name out there like that.
That's well put. Yeah, with the internet age today, it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like Marvin has said in the past, anybody can become a tech. Sometimes that's good, sometimes not. But the reality is, if you're keeping up with your education and learning new things and learning how to do something. Now, going back to be honest with you, now, I might learn something on a customer's computer. Not anything that's going to, I'm going to back up their data. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to destroy anything. But I might learn how to do something new that I don't quite understand. And once I figure that out, then it's there. It's golden. But I would never put the customer in a position where, now, am I going to charge them because it took me 6 hours to do an hour job? Absolutely not. That's my education time, right? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming with that. And I probably should have specified that what I'm more concerned about a business network in this type of a sense. Like, I mean, everybody's had to try something the first time before, right? Like the first time you ever replaced a laptop screen, the first time you ever replaced a phone screen. Like, of course, you're going to have to test that on something. I went on eBay and bought a bunch of broken phones. I mean, that's how I did it. But. You know, that's not always going to be something that's available to everybody. So no, sorry, I should clarify. I don't mean that you should never learn by doing. You should absolutely learn by doing. But I don't think that your first experience with a small business server should be on a customer's location.
No, in the reality is there are tools out there today, and they're not a sponsor, but things like IT Pro TV, right? You can go there, you can learn. You can set up several virtual machines. You can set up a virtual network. You don't have to have physical access. It's very inexpensive.
Oh, absolutely.
You can do that to learn. You could actually take some old computers or even set up a virtual network on your own network. Get some of the products that you're going to be selling and servicing and understand how they work so that when you go in, you're going to have a better idea. Even if you go into a brand new customer that maybe doesn't have the same exact products and services, you're going to have a better understanding of, okay, here's what we need to do in order to make this work right.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you know, I know that they're not sponsors of the show, so they're not, you know, paying for any of this. But really, I mean, I have to stand behind IT Pro TV. Sorry, because they've done a great job with a lot of the videos that they've done. I got Brad a login for it. I had him going in, and he was learning some of the stuff that I just didn't have time to teach him, and it's great. I mean, it's the videos are great, the labs are great, so. If anybody hasn't tried it, I personally stand behind them.
Yeah, definitely check. And so there's plenty of education out there. You can get a formal education. There's many. Now, I guess with the formal education, sometimes there are still things that you're going to learn on the job. Right, Marvin? You're not going to learn everything by just being educated from a book.
No, because you have to experience real life. So right. just as in every other walk of life, you know, that's why doctors have internships and, you know, you've got to practice on something real for the first time. So,
yeah. But just don't go in blind.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've never done that.
Well, I'm sure that we all have at some point, and whether or not it panned out was like, you know, a shotgun, right?
It's always panned out.
You know what? I can't say that I've ever messed something up bad enough that I haven't been able to fix it.
Right.
I will say that. But I will also say that, you know, for some of my own clients, when they turn around and say, hey, listen, I'm having a problem with my small business server. When I went to school, I learned all about, Active Directory and servers and networks and Cisco. And I took all of that. But it's also not my core competency, right? I've been out of school for more years than I'd care to admit right now. So.
What, like two?
For me to. Oh, thanks. But you know, for me to jump into an Active Directory environment, oh, you want me to make a new user? No problem. You want permission set up for that folder? No problem. You want me to create a group policy object to do these things automatically every time someone logs into a computer? Hey, Frank, I need you to help me out here because I don't want to mess up this policy. Because I don't do that on a regular basis.
Right. That's a good point.
So, you know, find that person.
Right.
We should not be just individual companies in our own little firewalled garden here. We should be reaching out to each other. We should be working together. We should be referring amongst each other. Because at the end of the day, we're all part of the same community. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Chris, I know you got to go a little early today. Is there anything that we need to, any other things besides not using Dropbox as a server that we need to cover as far as misconceptions? Any other scenarios that you can think of?
Come on now. We don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's true. we could do a three-parter here.
Yeah, we could. But I mean, I think we've hit on the two biggest things. You know, let's help our customers understand what they need for their business. And, you know, just because cloud is the popular thing, make sure it's right for them.
Right.
But also as a tech, we have to understand not just the technology, but which technology is best for our customers.
Yep, I agree. Chris, any lasting thoughts there?
I mean, a bit of a repeat, you know, don't use the solution for the solution. Use the solution for the customer.
Is that like using the right tool for the right job?
Yes.
Okay. Or using the right tool for the job?
Absolutely.
I guess it would be the right job either way.
There is a right job. I mean, it's not like we haven't turned down jobs, right?
Absolutely. I do it all the time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this show's a little bit shorter, but I think we have hit a lot of the details that we talked about as far as customer misconceptions of technology and also tech education. Marvin, if people wanted to find out more about what you're up to besides you scapegoating on other shows, where could they do that?
Maninthevan.net. I'm going to post a link to the other show just because you said that.
Go ahead. Absolutely. We'll put it in the show notes here. We want people to go over there and check that out. Those guys are doing a great job over there. All right, Chris, if people want to find out more about what you're up to and what your white label service is all about, where could they do that?
Well, you can either send us an email at info@rstechteam.com. You can call us at 866-568-2813, or you can go to our website, www.rstechteam.com.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys coming out again today. And I just want to throw this out there real quick before we end the show off. If you have something that you would like to be talked about on this show, definitely let us know. Get us, email us or call us, leave a voicemail. You can email us at podnuts@podnuts.com. That would be great. If you want to be a guest on the show, let me know. Send me an email. Same thing, podnuts@podnuts.com. And we'll go ahead and set that up and get in a rotation, especially if you want to talk about something in particular. And as always, if you'd like to call into the show, you can do that using our toll-free number, 1-888-697-0162. So definitely do that. I know it's summertime and kind of everybody's off doing their things on the weekend, which is cool. I should probably take a break too, but yeah, I just love talking. So that's why I'm here. come join us live for the Computer Repair Podcast every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live. Again, join in on a conversation by calling in live and hanging out in the chat room. And we do have audio available over at podness.com or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher, whether it be what was that one, Marvin? Podcast Addicts or Pocket Casts. Okay. Again, send your questions and feedback to podnuts@podnuts.com, or you can leave a voicemail, like I said, 1-888-38-6970162. I want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. Appreciate you guys are definitely helping out. You can support this show by going to patreon.com/computer repair podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.